you know, people in the Bible like Peter, and I preached about Peter many times. I preached about David many times. I preached about John the Baptist a while back several times. I did a whole series on the man David. And you know, the people in the Bible, sometimes we kind of forget they're people just like you and I are. James chapter 5, verse 17 talks about Elijah. And Elijah had power. He could pray and bring fire down from heaven and destroy 850 prophets of Baal and prophets of the grove. He could pray, and for 3 years it wouldn't rain. And the Bible says this in James chapter 5, verse 17 about Elijah. It said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He was subject to like passions that we are. He had the same problems we did. I mean, there was a time over in 1 Kings chapter 9. Remember that? After he brought fire down from heaven. And the next thing you know, he's sitting under a juniper tree praying and asking God to kill him because Jezebel's chasing him. He had the same problems. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it said, "There is no temptation that has taken you, but such is common to man." We go through the whole thing. Sometimes we think it's just us that have to go through things. The Bible said in Mark chapter 12, verse 37, one of my favorite verses, it says, "And the common people heard him gladly." That's what we are. And the characters reading the Bible, the Davids, the Peters, the Pauls, John the Baptist, all of them, Noah and Moses, all of them, some of them were great men, but they're men like you and I. And just the thing is, we can learn a lot from these people. And I want to preach about one this morning. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, then we're going to go to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 2. And the book of Judges tells us about judges, what it's called. And God sent there in the time throughout Israel. Look at Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 says this. In verse number 16 it says this. "Nevertheless the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them." Verse 18, "And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies." Talking about Israel. The book of Judges, there's 13 judges mentioned in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, it goes through a period of about 300 years in the history of Israel. And during this time, God raises up these judges. Israel's gone in apostasy and gone away from the Lord. And God raised up these judges to help get Israel right and deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And Judges chapter 13 tells us about one of these judges. And this judge in Judges chapter 13 is one of the most well-known characters in all the Bible. He's one of the most well-known, and yet he's one of the most least known in some ways. And more is written about this judge in the book of Judges than all the other judges. This judge God put a lot of attention on in Judges chapter 13, and I'm talking about the man Samson. Everybody knows about Samson. Samson was one of the 13 judges. And everybody knows about Samson, his great strength and all that stuff. And Samson, there's cartoons on Samson. He's one of the best known characters in all the Word of God. And there's been a lot of movies and mythology and different things written about the man Samson. I got a friend of mine, and I wouldn't recommend this, but I got a friend of mine, he named his son Samson. Now, don't you know that that's just asking for a fight right there, you know? It's like a boy named Sue, you know, that song Johnny Cash did, you know? That's like just picking a fight, naming your son Samson, of all things. Alan Ryman did that. But I want to give you a few things about Samson this morning. I want to say some things about Samson. Look at Judges chapter 13, verse 1. It says this about Samson. Judges chapter 13, 1. It said, "Now the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them to the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Watch it. "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean." I want you to notice about Samson, the first thing you see right off the bat in Judges chapter 13, that Samson had a supernatural birth. Samson had a special birth. the angel of the Lord came to this man's wife and told her, said, hey, she hadn't been able to conceive, and he said, you're going to bring forth a son and bear a son just like John the Baptist. That's what happened with John the Baptist. That's what's happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord came and prophesied and promised and provided the birth of Samson. Samson had a supernatural birth. He had a special birth. God was in the life, in the hand of Samson before he was ever born. Look at something else. There's a salutation. The word salutation means an announcement made, a greeting, acknowledging of another's arrival. That's what happened in Luke chapter 1 with Mary. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 1 about the birth of Jesus. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God in the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to be a man named Joseph, the angel of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. It comes from the word salute. It's an act of reverence. It's an act of announcement. And there's the salutation of Samson by the angel of the Lord. Very few people in the Bible. There's Samuel. There's John the Baptist. And there's Jesus Christ. But there's very few people that had the salutation and the announcement from the angel of the Lord like the man Samson. Clearly, God's hand was in the life of this man Samson. Look at Judges 13, verse 3. It said, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, behold, thou now art faithful. There's a salutation. Look at verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 9. And the God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again. Over and over and over. Look at verse 22. It says this. Verse 22, they say this. And Manoah said unto his wife, we have surely died because we have seen God. There's the angel of the Lord, the appearance of the Lord there, that angel of the Lord, there's a salutation, there's a supernatural birth. Clearly, clearly God's hand was in the man Samson. Something else about it. I want you to look at Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, there's a separation from the womb. Says this in Judges chapter 13, verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I mean, from the womb. From the womb, God had placed His hand upon the man Samson, for he was ever born, Miss Martha, like John the Baptist. The Bible said about John the Baptist, he was filled from the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Look at Numbers chapter 6. Flip over to Numbers chapter 6. Keep Joshua 13 handy. Flip over to Numbers chapter 6, and there's the vow of the Nazarite. Now let me just say right off the bat here that Jesus Christ was not a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene from the land of Nazareth, but he was not a Nazarite. A Nazarite vow is a different deal. In Numbers chapter 6, tells us about the Nazarite vow. And it says this in Numbers 6 chapter 1. Numbers 6, 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman, watch it, shall separate themselves to vow a vow. Notice, it's them, thou, and a thou. Samson was separated from his mother's womb. He didn't vow a vow. God separated him from his mother's womb. And a man and woman shall separate themselves and vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord. That's what a Nazarite vow was for. It was a man that would separate himself, dedicated to the service of the Lord. Verse 4, watch it. All the days of his separation, he was separated. Shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk? In the days of his vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. Watch it. He shall be holy and let the locks of his hair or his head grow. All the days he shall separate himself unto the Lord, he shall come in no dead body. In the days of his separation, verse 8, and there was a separation of the Nazarite vow, and they'd take a vow, and they'd take it for a period of time. They may take it for a month. They may take it for a few years. But Samson was different, Miss Martha. When he was born, he was ever born. The angel of the Lord told his mother, said he's going to be a Nazarite, and he's going to be separated for the work of God before he is ever born. from the womb, it said, he would be a Nazarite. And it said all the days of his life, he could not drink of anything of the vine, eat of the vine tree that was cursed to the Nazarite, and he couldn't cut his hair. There was a separation that God had separated Samson from the womb. And there's a sanctification. He is not only separated, but he was sanctified by the Lord. The sanctified means to be cleansed. It means to be holy. We saw there in Judges chapter 6, it said about the Nazarite, he shall be holy unto the Lord. Look at Judges chapter 13, verse 24. There was his supernatural birth. There was his separation. There was his sanctification. God had his hand on this man called Samson. Even from his mother's womb, before he was ever born, there was a special birth, a supernatural birth. There was a salutation from the angel. There was a separation from the womb, and there was a sanctification. God has sanctified this man even before he was born and set him aside for blessing to be the service from God to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Look over at Judges chapter 13. Look at verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. There was a separation. There was a sanctification. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. God's hand was in the life of Samson. Even before he was born, of all the judges, the 13 judges mentioned in the book of Judges, Samson was special. He was the most powerful. He's the one that God had his hand on him before he was born. God had his hand on there. You know what the name Samson means? It means son, man of the sun. That's what it means. It's one of the titles given to Jesus Christ. In Malachi chapter 2, Jesus is called the Son, S-U-N of righteousness. The name Samson means a sun man, the man of the sun. It means a shining one. It means brilliant. It bears a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Samson, like Jesus Christ, he had a supernatural birth. His birth was foretold and ordained by the angel of the Lord, like Jesus Christ. He was dedicated and set aside from the womb from the Lord's work. He was sent to be a deliverer of Israel. He possessed supernatural power directly from the Lord. Over and over and over, God had His hand in the man called Samson. Very few men in the Bible had the salutation and the special birth and the separation, the sanctification that Samuel had. Look what it said over in chapter 13, look at verse 25. Not only that, he had a special birth, had the salutation, had the sanctification, had the separation. Then look at this, he had the Spirit of God was all over him. Look at Judges chapter 13, verse 25. It said, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The Spirit of God began to move the man Samson. Clearly, God's hand was in the life of this man, Samson. Clearly, you can see it all throughout there. And one of the things that everybody knows about Samson is the most obvious thing about Samson was what? Was his strength. The Bible said over in Joshua chapter 4, it said that Samson, Miss Martha, one day a lion came out there, a young lion, and the Bible said he rent, that means to tear. It said with his bare hands, it said he took a lion and tore him like he would a kid, like a little lamb. Another time in Luke, Joshua chapter 14, it says about Samuel, Brother Ben, it said he killed 30 men of Ashkelon. In Joshua chapter 15, Miss Jane, it said about Samuel, he took the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 men. Clearly God was with him. Clearly Samson was a man of strength. Everybody knows about Samson. They had a song in Israel at the time, I believe. You don't spit in the wind. You don't ride a camel backwards. You don't swim in the Dead Sea, and you don't mess around with Samson. You know where Samson sit when he came in the room? Anywhere he wanted to. That's a pretty bad dude. He could take a jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 people. There was the strength of Samson. Samson had the strength. But Samson's strength was not in the arms of flesh. He said, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us. Look at Joshua chapter 16. Joshua chapter 16. Joshua chapter 16 says this. Here's a Delilah. We'll talk about this later. And Delilah's over there and she's trying to entice Samson, and they pay her, and they're trying to find out. Look at it. Look at Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16 says this. Verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her, Delilah, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him. Look at verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies. Listen, if he had big old arms of big old arms and muscles all over the place, and he was a big hooker and a big bruiser kind of thing, they wouldn't say, hey, where's that strength at? How you do what you do? Where is that, the secret of thy great strength? I want to say this morning, his strength was not in the arms of flesh. I want to say this morning to you and I, our strength is not in this flesh. This flesh will fail you. Look at Judges chapter 15. In Judges chapter 15, I told you over there where about Samson could kill a lion with his bare hands. But look at Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, verse 5. Judges 14, 5 says this. Judges 14, 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Watch it. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would a rent a kid. He had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and mother. The Bible said, you know where his strength was? The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He came mightily upon him. And he is able to rent that lion just like it was a little lamb. With his bare hands. Look at what Judges chapter 14. Look at verse 19. Here's where he goes down to Ascalon and slews, kills 30 men to get their clothes. Look at Judges chapter 14, verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave the chiefs. It was when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Look over to Judges chapter 15. You say, what he's trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you his strength was not in these arms of flesh. It was when the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. Just like you and I, we have no strength in this flesh. And Samson knew it. Look at Judges chapter 15. Verse 14 says this. And when he come into Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. Watch it. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that were burnt with fire. And he found, verse 15, he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men. You say, what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. That phrase, the Spirit of the Lord, occurs 7 times in the book of Judges. There are 21 chapters in the book of Judges. There are 618 verses. It covers a period of 300 years. There are 13 judges mentioned. And only 7 times the Spirit of the Lord appears. And 4 of those times are dedicated to the man Samson. There was his strength. His strength was not in the arms of flesh. And Samson knew it. Look at Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Delilah's trying to trick him. And she deceives him. Look at Judges chapter 16 verse 17. And he told her all his heart and he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Watch this. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Samson's strength was not in the arms of flesh. Samson's strength was in the separation and the sanctification and the obedience to the Lord. Just like you and I, there's no strength in this flesh. Jesus Christ said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The battle that you and I have, like Samson, it's not a battle of the flesh. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness. And the men and the women that the Lord has used throughout history, you know what they were? They weren't supermen. They were men that understood. They understood where their strength came from. There was Dwight L. Moody. Had less than a fifth grade education. You heard he was never ordained, never had an ordination service, never even had a call to preach. He surrendered. He said he felt the need and surrendered to God, and God used him to bring some of the greatest revivals the world's ever seen. And you know what it was? It wasn't in his flesh. It wasn't what he had. It was in the strength of the Lord. You know why a lot of times God will use these lesser ones? Because they realize where their strength comes from. You know what gets us in trouble too many times? As I preached before, the Christian's greatest enemy is flesh. We try to fight this whole battle in the flesh, and we'll lose every time. Every time we'll lose. Samson's strength was not in the flesh. Take your Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know where our strength lies in? It lies in the Spirit of the Lord. And when you got saved, you know what happened? You got a supernatural birth. Just like Samson. When you got saved, you got saved, you got born again. If you've been saved, you got born of the Spirit of God, you got a supernatural birth. You were sanctified and separated from God. God sanctified you and cleansed you and separated you just like He did Samson. And the Holy Spirit of God, when you got saved, He came and dwelt inside you. The Bible said, "No, you're not. Your body is a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Just like Samson. And you know what? Our strength, my friend, it's not in the flesh like Samson. It is in the Spirit of God. And that same Spirit that empowered Samson is the same Spirit that lives in you and I. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a great verse. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. This ought to encourage you. This ought to help you. Because you know what happens so many times with you and I serving God? I'll tell you what happens. We disqualify ourselves. You know what we do a lot of times? We feel like, well, I can't do it. Of course you can't do it. None of us can. That's why God is there. That's why we need to rely on His strength. Because we look at the flesh and we look at the things we can't do and we're ready to quit. We say, "God, I can't do it." Of course you can't do it. That's why God's there. Samson couldn't slew 1,000 men unless the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, came mightily upon him. Dwight L. Moody couldn't have brought the revivals throughout America and England like he did unless the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. We're all flesh. We're all weak. The flesh is weak. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. What a great verse here. What a great verse. "For you see, you're calling, brethren," watch this, "how that not many wise men after," look at it, "not that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the world. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound those that are mighty." Verse 29, "that no flesh should glory in His presence." You know why a lot of times God will use a Dwight L. Moody and pass up all these other men, and He'll use a man like Earl Ancrum, a former Satanist with a fifth grade education, and have him preaching all over the country for 25 years. You know why? Because those men understand their weakness and they understand where they got to turn to. And they don't try to fight this thing in the flesh. Brother Earl knows where he come from. He knows what God did for him. He knows where his strength lies. You know what Paul had to learn? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know what Samson's strength was? It wasn't in the arms of flesh. It was in the Spirit of the Lord. Just like you and I. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's the Apostle Paul. Wrote 13 books of the Bible. Probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. God showed Paul things that He showed no other man. And God had all, Paul had all kind of revelations. He opened up the grace of gospel, the grace of God. He opened up the gospel of this dispensation over and over. He is the gospel of the apostles. God showed Paul more things. He wrote more of the Bible than anybody else. At least the New Testament, wrote 13 books of it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know what Paul had to learn? Paul had to learn, just like you and I have to learn, if you're ever going to serve God, that this battle's not in the flesh, and we can't fight this thing in the flesh, that in the flesh you and I are weak, just like Paul was. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. God gave him all these revelations, all these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." Paul said, God didn't want me to get a big head. There was giving me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God didn't want Paul to get that flesh lifted up. God didn't want Paul to think Paul was somebody. Look at verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for in my strength." God's strength. "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And he goes on to verse 10. For when I am weak, he said, "Then am I strong." You know why Paul realized? And God sent him a messenger to buffet him in the flesh, that he wouldn't get lifted up. And Paul would realize that it's not a battle of the flesh. And Paul realized that his strength was in the Lord. He said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient. And my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know what Peter had to find out? Remember old Peter? I like to preach about Peter because I can kind of relate to Peter. Brother Alonzo, you know, I'm ready. Most men are ready to fight, aren't we? When God told Peter, he said, "Go get a sword," Peter ran and got two real quick, didn't he? He was ready to go at it. When they came to the garden and Malchus came out there and they came to get Jesus, you know who it was? The Bible said it was Peter. He took the sword over there and whacked his ear off. He wasn't going for the ear, he was going for the head. And the guy went like this, and whoosh. If he'd have went like this, he'd have cut him in half. Peter was going, whoosh. That guy ducked, and Jesus went over and picked the ear and put it back on. That right there would have slowed me down if I'd have been them. But that was Peter, see. Remember Peter? Peter said, "Hey, Lord, I'll never deny you." Remember Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to be betrayed tonight, and you're all going to forsake me and deny me." And Peter said, "Not me, Lord. Though they might leave you, Lord, not me. I'll die, Lord. I'll never deny thee." You know what he was? In the flesh. This battle is not in the flesh. You know what God had to do to Peter? Woo! Take him down a few notches. There's that big old bad Peter. I mean, a commercial fisherman. He is ready to take a sword and fight every one of them that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Miss Martha. And there he is sitting there by a fire, and a little teenage maid, little girl, a damsel, the Bible says, comes up to him and says, "By like thou, you were with him." Big man, wasn't he? "I know not the man." Another one came, said, "Your speech betrayeth thee. You sell just like him. You want to bet?" And he begins to curse and swear. Let them know. So you want to hear some speech? I'll give you some speech, some blue letter words. And they said, "I don't think he was with him talking like that." You know what God had to do? He had to take that old boy down. You say, why? Because the battle's not in the flesh. Peter wanted to fight in the flesh. That's what happened to John the Baptist. Remember over there in Matthew chapter 11? John's in prison and John says, "Hey, go ask Jesus. Say, hey, are you the right one or do we look for another?" Jesus said, "Go show John again, the things you've seen and heard." You know what it is? Sometimes we get in the flesh, Brother Ben, you know what God will have to do? He'll have to take us down and realize, hey, this thing's not in the flesh. In this old flesh, let's just be honest, especially a man, I can't speak as a woman, thank God, but I tell you, as a man, I'm ready to fight. I'm just ready to... That's the instinct of a man. It's a hit and ask later, questions later, isn't it, Brother Ben? That's the way we are. But you know what? It's not that way in the battle with the Lord. We can't fight this thing in the flesh. I've had people spit in my face on the street. I've had them call me every name in the world. I've had everything. You say, "What do you do, preacher?" I just turn around and just keep going. You know what I'd like to do? Punch them in the nose. I had a fellow spit in my face one time at East Lake Park. Spanish guy about 30 years ago. Maybe longer than that, we used to go down there and pass out gospel tracts with the kids on Saturday. My little kids were little bitty guys, and my Rachel, she would track anybody down, that kid. She could run Miss Martha, and if they never refused track from kids, especially her. She would track you down. But this guy one day, Miss Pat, I was down there at East Lake Park, and I tried to talk to this Spanish guy about the Lord. He said, "I don't believe that blankly blank," and spit in my face. Went, spit right in my face. Now, you know what I'd like to have done? Now, he wasn't that big. And I was about 30 years old, Brother Alonzo. I was pretty lean and mean back then. Now I'm an old guy. I'd have to, like Brother Charlie said, I'd have to hire somebody to do my fighting now. But back in those days, I could have took him apart easily. And believe me, the flesh said, this might just be the time. But here's my three little kids here. They're looking at me, little Stephen, he's about two. He's looking up at Dad. Rachel's looking up there, and they're all looking at me. Now, that would have been a great testimony, me jump on that guy. So what'd you do? I just wiped it off my face and just talking to him about the Lord. You know what it is? This thing's not a battle of the flesh. We used to go down to Legion Field, me and Brother Charlie Andrews, back when they had the Alabama-Auburn game. And we'd go down there and preach down there. We'd stand up there. I don't know if you ever been there. They got those two big old columns down there. When you go in Legion Field, and Brother Charlie get on one side, I'd get on the other side. And all those good Christian folks there, you know. And we get out there in our Bible during the game, they're going in. And the Bible says, I've had them throw liquor on me. I've had them throw beer on me while I'm up there preaching. I've had them cuss me, everything in the world. Those folks up here, you say, what do? You just keep going. You say, why? It's not a battle of the flesh. You know what Peter had to find out? This thing's not a battle of the flesh. Our strength is not in the flesh. John the Baptist had to find it. David had to find it. And I want to tell you, Samson, we see the pictures of him. He wasn't a big bruiser like that. His strength wasn't in the arms of flesh. It was when the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. J. Vernon McGee writes in his commentary, I love this. Here's what he writes about Samson. I agree with him. He said, even though many people have pictured Samson as a big bruiser, he was probably one of the worst sissies in all the Bible. I think he was a little dried up milk toast type of man. His name means little son. He had long hair. He was a riddle maker. He played pranks like a little schoolboy. He allowed women to make a fool out of him. He was not a he-man. He was not the strongest man in the Bible. He was the weakest man. But when the Spirit of the Lord began to move him, he was strong. When the Spirit was not upon him, he was weak as water. A people in Samson's day wanted to know the source of his strength. They did not realize that God chose the weak things of the world to accomplish his purposes. They marveled at Samson. How can this little scrawny milquetoast fellow perform these feats of tremendous strength? And J. Vernon McGee writes real big, there was only one explanation. God did it. There's only one explanation. God did it. How in the world did God take in a man, old fat little boy, that stuttered so bad with a fifth grade education like Dwight L. Moody, and bring the greatest revivals in modern time? How did he do it? God did it. How in the world did God take a little blind girl, save her at 45 years of age, Brother Chris, and then she write 9,000 hymns to him? There's only one way. God did it. How in the world can God take a little old fat man that looks like Buddha according to his own self, like Tommy Tillman with 14 hearts, his heart attack and cancer, all kind of health problems, all kind of death in the family, and God use him like he did and start 50 hospitals among the lepers in Thailand and Mongolia? How in the world can God use that little bitty weak man that walks in this door, man? It looks like somebody just off the street, and God had his hand on that man for over 50 years. You say, how did he do it? God did it. You say, folks, our strength is not in this flesh. It's in the Lord. And the same strength that Joe Samson had, you and I have that power. It's what God did with Tommy Tillman. It's what he did with Billy Sunday. It's what he did with Dwight. All these men were not supermen. Most of these men were weak men. Most of these men were men that were not mighty in the flesh. Most of these men were just pitiful men when it comes to the things of the world. And yet God had his hand on them. You say, why? God's strength is not in his flesh. And the sooner we realize that, the more God will use us. And I think a lot of those men that God was able to use in those women that was poor and they were blind and they had so many problems and they had so many deficiencies and they had few little abilities. I believe the reason that God was able to use them because they were able to realize that they had to have the strength of God. And they relied in that. Like Samson, there was his strength. His strength wasn't his arm of flesh. The word strength occurs 85 times in the book of Psalms. And most of the time, nearly every time, you know what it refers to? It refers to the Lord. Psalm 18:1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Philippians 4:13, we all know it. We all know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He said we can do it through Him, which strengtheneth us. You see, friend, this old battle is not a battle of the flesh. Because the flesh will fail you. I have a buddy there at the park named Dave. He's came here before, him and his wife, Patty. And I love Brother Dave. He's had cancer so bad. He has had so many problems. It's unbelievable. And yet that guy glows like the sun, man. He's the one I told you about. Hey, he got that cancer, and Patty was his girlfriend growing up. And they grew up together, and she moved to New York and got separated for years. And I was walking to the park that day, and he was walking, and he saw me, and boy, he was just booming. Dave was, and Dave's in his 60s, and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Brother Terry, God's so good." And he got that cancer, and Patty moved from New York, his old sweetheart, and came down here, and they got married. And he said, "You know, if God wouldn't have gave me that cancer, I'd have never got to marry her again." And when he found out he had got that cancer, he was driving a truck, first time he's had several bouts, and he said he stopped in a truck stop. And he found a shirt there, Brother Ben. You know what that shirt said? He was depressed. And that shirt said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And he told me, he said, "Brother Terry, the only way I've ever got to go through this thing is through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You see, this battle is not a battle of the flesh. This flesh will fail, like Samson. Samson's strength wasn't in the arms of flesh. That's what they make the pictures. But every time it says, "And the Spirit of God came mightily upon him." Psalm 46:1, that verse that we put out of the hat last week that I preached a little bit on, it said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding." You say, "Well, I said, that's where your strength is." Just like Samson, you and I are a lot like him. We had a supernatural birth. We've been born again. We were separated and sanctified from the spiritual womb. Spirit of God came upon us mightily when you got saved. Our strength is totally from the Lord. Our God is to deliver people from hell, just like He was to deliver the children of Israel from Philistines. You know what Samson was? He had a supernatural birth. He had that salutation, which is the Word of God. He had a sanctification. He had a separation. Had the Spirit of God upon him. But there was his strength. The Spirit of God. Brother Ben called me yesterday. And Brother Ben, that's one of the best testimonies I've heard in a long time, when he called me yesterday. And he called me yesterday morning, and he said, "Brother Terry," and he was calm, "Brother Terry, I tore my car up." He said, "I was driving down the road," and he said, "a deer ran in front of me, and I hit a deer," and he said, "it tore my car up." And he said, "I've already called the insurance company, and they're taking care of everything," and he was praising God. And he mentioned, you know, that Liz told him, and he thought about, well, maybe God put that deer out in the way and caused that wreck, because he might have gotten a bit worse wreck down the road. You know what that was? That was a testimony to the strength of God. That was a testimony, Brother Ben. He loves that car out there, I'm telling you. You watch him sometimes, he'd drive that car up, he'd go out there and check it, he washes that car and polishes that car, and for that deer to hit that car and tear that car up, you know what that was? That was the flesh. But you know what he did? He just said, "Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to give this thing to the Lord and let God handle it. You know what that is? That's the strength of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Samson's strength was not in the arms of flesh, just like yours and ours. Our battle is not in the arms of this flesh. It's in the Spirit of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the Spirit of God as you give us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we're not alone in this battle. Thank you, Lord, we can do all things through Christ with strength in thee. Lord, we can't do anything without you, Lord. Lord, you said the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, when we're our weakest, we're our strongest. For in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. And there was Samson, Lord, one of the strongest men in the Bible, maybe that ever lived, but it wasn't in the flesh, Lord. The Spirit of God came mighty upon him in obedience to the Word of God. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, that our battle and our fight is not in the flesh. We'll lose every time. We can't beat this flesh, Lord. We can't beat it. But Lord, we can surrender. We can say to Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. We can crucify this flesh. You said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. You said, set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Realize, God, this battle is not the flesh. This flesh we lose every time. But that strength we have in the Spirit of God can get us through anything. Father, pray your blessing now upon the rest of the day, Lord. We love you this morning. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right.